Hey, what's nice. Up, everybody? Welcome to the UCGC podcast. I am today's host. I am Peter, and I am joined with
EJ,
Chad,
and today we're just gonna honestly just talk some shit. You know, we're gonna hang out and be cool and chill today. No real topics, right? Like just us kind of talking about shit that we've been watching, playing. But before we start all that, I want to just address real quick UCGC. We are all talking right now, especially in light of a lot of things in the gaming industry. We're all talking with each other to be more inclusive and be more to kind of just make sure you all are aware that the gaming club is a very inclusive place. We want everybody to feel comfortable and safe, so we're working on ways to make everybody feel better in our events. So yeah, stay tuned for that in the future, but I just wanted to put that out there right now, that way people don't think we're just remaining silent. So with that out of the way, I think we can start talking about some other things. So boys, Chad, Davis, welcome, thank you for joining me today, guys, really appreciate it. So you know, I would love to start off with just some things you guys have been playing and watching. I know that both of you have played the Pokemon expansion pack, if you guys want to dive into that a little bit, and then we can just go from there.
Yeah, so the Sword and Shield DLC is okay enough to the fact that you will buy it. I guarantee you will, just because you'll just want to have that sort of like completeness inside your life. But I think the DLC is a good start of, like, what I want Gen 9 to be inside the next coming game. Do you agree with me, Chad?
No, yeah, like, I personally really enjoy the direction of, like, how do I put this? Like, I'm usually not a fan of, like, DLC to, like, quote-unquote, complete a game. But it feels like the way Pokemon Sword and Shield went about it, it's not necessarily completing the game as much as it is adding, like, genuinely adding on to it.
Yeah.
I genuinely enjoyed, I was a little disappointed by, like, the limited selection of, like, previous generations of Pokemon that they added in. Like, I think I was only really excited about maybe, like, one or two Pokemon that they put back. But overall, I was really happy with what we have so far. And I do like the fact that rather than having us pay for, like, first Isle of Armor and then
the Crown Tundra, you just get it all and then we'll just update when you need to update.
I really enjoy that, and the like comparatively lower price from like just buying a whole new game is definitely a lot nicer in my opinion, because like it's still new content and like I don't feel like we need a new generation every single time that, like...
Yeah, it's one of those things where I felt like this is a demonstration of what they can do, but... Yeah. Oh, my dog is barking. But you can hear that, probably. So, what I thought about it really was just, like, I just wanted to see what was it gonna be like, so that was it. I'm gonna take a quick break, so, Chad, you can explain what's going on with Pokemon. I gotta go check my dog. That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, no worries. So, essentially, with Isle of Armor, obviously, you get the armor pass when you go to the train station in one of the first towns of Pokemon Sword and Shield. And then they let you into the Isle of Armor. You go over, and essentially, you get introduced to the Master Dojo. And then Master Mustard, who is the leader of the dojo. And he was one of the, I think, he was the champion, like, right before Leon. Or there may have been, like, a champion between the two of them. I'm not entirely sure. Davis can probably fact check me when he gets back. So, yeah, essentially, you go through a bunch of tests. And then he gives you, what is it, Kubfu? Who is a special, like, he's technically a legendary Pokemon, but he does evolve, so...
Would you consider him like a pseudo, like kind of like a Dragonite or something?
Davis, how would you qualify Kubfu? Because I think technically
Kubfu is a mythical Pokemon, technically speaking.
Okay, because I saw somewhere online that he's technically, like, classified as a legendary Pokemon.
Yes, it's one of those legendaries where you automatically get it just because you paid for it. Yeah. It's like Victini. You automatically got that DLC. I don't think you really had to battle it or anything. You just need to catch. You had to go to the island and then get it. But it actually plays a lot into the story. I don't know, Chad, if you covered this while I was gone.
Where like you get Kubfu, like if you
So basically, yeah. The whole part, the entire like gist of this thing is like, okay, you got to raise this Pokemon from level 10 to 70. So like, what I really thought from the story perspective is that this was supposed to be meant like at the beginning of your journey too, and then you kind of make your way through the game, then come back later to finish your training, which is like okay and all, but really like if you're post game, you'll just get it done in one go. I think I wrote about this for a little bit of a blog post. It was like a little bit over 2 hours full gameplay, so you don't get a lot of story, but you get a lot of area to explore.
Yeah, there's definitely a good amount of the area to explore. Problem I had was that, like, you could, if you had, like, level 100 Pokemon or, like, somewhere around there.
Yeah, you just swept.
Yeah, like, you had, like, 2 hours of story at least, or at most, I think.
And, yeah.
But, again, that's, like, with, a, like, maxed out team. I didn't have a maxed out team. I think mine... we're around 60 to 70, like, when I went in, and it didn't take as long as I really wanted it to, which I think was a general complaint from the community, just saying, yeah. Oh, like, it's, like, pretty good, just too short. But, like, I kind of understand why it was short, because they have to do Isle of Armor and then Crown Tundra. And I think they said to begin with, hey, Isle of Armor isn't going to be story-based. This is just to get more Pokemon in.
Yeah.
Tundra is going to be, like, the more narrative.
Yeah, so, like, this is focused on, like, what? Combat and, like, the other... And, like, Crown Tundra is supposed to be focused on exploration. Is that what they said on the, like, little Nintendo Directs that they have?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, like, Nintendo Directs, did you know that on the day of release, they announced Pokemon Snap 2?
Yeah, I did see that. I actually saw that, and like, okay, here's what frustrates me though. Pokemon Snap looks beautiful visually, and so now I'm wondering, like, okay, you have beautiful Pokemon Snap, and then Pokemon Sword and Shield. Why couldn't you have done the same graphics, like, for both? I'm sure there's like some stuff going on behind the scenes that kind of prevented that, but
from what my understanding is, this Pokemon game was supposed to be on the 3DS. So it makes sense for that these graphics aren't to be the greatest. And plus, you're also dealing with a whole different beast with an open world. Within Pokemon Snap, separate paths that are kind of sort of like connected by the hub, like kind of like level select. So each one can be stored individually rather than like overall. But like with Pokemon Sword and Shield, it's a completely different kind of way they need to process information.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense to me. But, like, then again, it's just like, okay, you wanted Pokemon Sword and Shield to originally be on 3DS. Then, like, I don't know. I feel like it could have been handled differently or better.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of my arguments is that, okay, if you really wanted a better game, you would have waited. And it was either this or Animal Crossing was going to be delayed. And we know Animal Crossing was delayed. Because Nintendo wanted to get Pokemon out for the December release, because that's one of the biggest times they would buy a game, is around Christmas or New Year's.
Yeah, and like Pokemon is like arguably the biggest title for Nintendo, in my opinion. And like that's going to be like the big moneymaker for them. So like I understand from a economic and financial standpoint why they did it that way. It's just like they could have... I just feel like they could have had Sword and Shield on the 3DS, and then have Isle of Armor / Crown Tundra as its own, like, big
expansion.
Yeah, like, that type of thing.
Mm.
But again, like, beggars can't necessarily be choosers, so, like, I get it. I'm just a little disappointed that it wasn't handled, like, better.
Yeah. It's just the way Nintendo handles things is just really just the Japanese sense of like, okay, this has got to be here, here, and here. It's very direct. But other than that, what else have you been, what else can we talk about the DLC that was fun? Did you like the story at least, like character-wise?
I really enjoyed the story. Like, I really enjoyed the dynamic that, like, they set up between, like, you and Kung Fu and, like, how, like, the game encouraged you to, like, hey, like, go out and actually bond with it. Don't just, like...
put it in a PC box or just level it up.
Yeah, or just, like, load it up with a bunch of, like, EXP or rare candies or whatever. Yeah. And, like, they actually encourage you, like, hey, go camping with it. Go play with it or whatever. And I really enjoyed that. I definitely, like, as a person, I bonded with Kung Fu very quickly in comparison to, like...
any of the other Pokemon that you had?
Because, like, even as, like, I was coming back to, like, my original team, like, there was, like, I was going through all of them, like, I had named them. Like, I could definitely feel like, oh, I really love my Rillaboom more than, like, my, what was it? I think I had... what was that Pokemon where it's just like a bunch of little dudes with shields?
Oh, Phalanx?
Yeah.
The Spartan ones, yeah. That's a cute one.
That's kind of an obvious example. Like, it's your starter Pokemon as opposed to, like, something you catch at, like, level 40.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things where it's, like, you get to see that they're walking behind you now, which is, like, 10 times better.
Okay, here's the thing about the Pokemon walking behind you. I love that they brought it back.
It's just something that's broken. It's just broken. That's fine.
Yeah, it's just like, because I wanted to walk around with, what was it? The Centipede. Why am I forgetting their names? It's because I nicknamed them all. Sizzlipede, I think that's its name. Like, I was trying to walk around with my Centiscorch, and, like, I would get on my bike, go maybe, like, 20 feet, and then my Centiscorch is, like, a million feet back, and I'm just like, what is this?
I think they're giving it enough space so it knows, like, it's basically like a sort of like a ball and chain kind of thing that they probably programmed it as. So it will kind of tether along with you at a certain pace, but it will just keep up with you if you go too far. It's more of like a radio kind of thing where it's just like, it's just easier for them to program that in to, like, do.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, so...
because, like,
so...
you don't usually, like, go around a lot, per se, and, like, even if you don't really care about that function, it's just, you can turn it off, too, so it's, like, you could just, like, it doesn't matter if you outspeed or anything, it's just cool to have along, just visually. But, yeah, which version do you have? You have Shield, right? Chad?
I think Chad just disappeared. I'm pretty sure he has Shield. I'm pretty sure he has Shield, though.
Okay, he has Shield. Oh, there he goes.
He's back.
There he is. You're back.
Yeah.
You have Shield, right?
Yeah, I have Shield.
Okay, so you know I bought both, right? Because I played Shield on my own, and then for Sword, I finished that, because, like, we had the Let's Play, so I was like, I might as well just finish that up and then start the DLC. My God, Clara is, like, the Dami Mami of just, like, the newest Pokemon generation. She's better than Marnie straight by far.
Oh my God, no, yeah, like, I love that they brought back the jerk rivals. They finally brought them back, because, like, here's the thing, like, what was it? BD was, like, okay.
He was just evil, but, like, his arc was, like, he just didn't find the right path, you know?
Yeah, no, he was literally just misguided. He wasn't, like, evil or anything, but,
yeah.
Like,
he just wasn't, like, yeah, he was just, like, kind of, like, just misguided youth. But with, like, these rivals are out to get you. And that's what I like about it, is that there's an actual challenge and there's actual motive to beat them.
Yeah, like, I don't know how difficult, like, Clara was, but, like, the one in mine, I forget his name, like, that's Avery.
Avery, yes.
Yeah.
Which I, like, thought was a girl at first, honestly.
I thought he was a girl at first, too, not gonna lie. But
I'll say this, though. Avery's design, like, Pokeballs, are way better than Clara's. Just because he has them floating around his hat, and then he just throws them out there with psychic power.
Okay, like, yes, but also the tie-dye, like...
That's weird. It's weird. I mean, he's supposed to be the psychic gym leader, right? So yeah. I guess it makes sense because it's psychedelic.
Yeah, but like, it's just so, it hurts my eyes to look at. But
yeah,
then you have, who literally has like, what is it, like Dustox wings as her like hair ribbon or whatever? And I'm
just, yeah, like, it's like some form of Dustox kind of wings for her hair, which is nice.
That is brutal. And like, I'm low key upset just because of that, that I have shield.
And yeah. So
like, that's like the like least of my concerns. Okay, but like, here's the real question, the most important question that I can ask. Water Shifu or Dark Shifu?
That was
Shifu.
Actually a hard choice, because like, since I have both versions, I got both of them.
Oh, yeah.
I like Water Shifu's ability to hit three times. That's a good move, but I would say that a Dark type, it just looks a lot cooler with its like, with his one strike move though, because it feels like he has more power to it.
Yeah, like in its move always crits and like,
yeah, which is really nice.
I was having that dilemma like myself trying to choose. Like honestly, I think that's what a good 25% of my time in Isle of Armor.
I mean, because it's like what you get like what dark fighting is like. One of the most dark fighting is like really common, but dark water though, that's like 10 times more interesting because like there's only like a couple dark water types out there.
Wait, no, it's fighting dark and then fighting water.
That's what I said.
No, you said
fighting, dark. Never mind, fighting water. You don't see that, you don't see fighting water.
Yeah, you don't see that. Like, there's Poliwhirl. Or Poliwrath, or whichever one it is.
Poliwrath is water fighting, yes. But, like, that's the only one. And you don't use Poliwhirl enough, I guess, or Poliwrath. Like, warrant like, that kind of thing.
Like, the uniqueness of that.
Yeah. But, like, if you had, like, dark fighting and scraggy, scrafty, that kind of stuff, it's just like, ugh. Yeah, another one.
But, like, I don't know. I was, like, kind of just a sucker for it, for the fighting dark version. Like, it just looked a lot cooler to me.
The red looks better in on the accents than the blue does, I'll say that.
Yeah, that's true. And, like, if you have... I don't have Shiny Urshifu, but I looked at it. Like, what's up?
I don't think you can get a Shiny Kubfu, can you?
No, you can. Like, I've seen a couple, like, things online where you can have, like, a Shiny...
Oh, you use RNG just keep resetting it?
Yeah, something along
those lines. That's way too long.
I don't use the whole reset thing, or I don't really do that thing, because, like, I don't know, shiny Pokemon just don't have that appeal.
Yeah, just shiny legendary just doesn't really care anymore. It's just like, okay, so what? You spent, like, 2 hours on this? You wasted 2 hours of your life just for a couple ones and zeros, you know?
Yeah, like, it doesn't vibe with me, but, like...
Oh, there he goes again.
Oh my god.
Okay, my Wi-Fi is so cracked right now. Like, I am so sorry.
Your Wi-Fi can't handle my voice.
Like, I don't know what it is. Like, we've replaced the router, we've gotten a bunch of, like, Wi-Fi extenders, we've updated the modem, yada, yada, yada. But my Wi-Fi is just so garbage. Like, and for no reason. It happens out of nowhere. So, like, I apologize in advance if this happens, like, again.
It's fine. Yeah,
but like, where did I leave off before I cut
you're
out?
Talking about shit, what were you talking about? You were talking about Pokemon.
No. So like shiny dark type Urshifu looks a lot better than like shiny water type.
Okay. You're talking about shinies, yes, that's right.
Yeah, in the Gigantamax form, just because like the color scheme like matches better.
Yeah. I just don't really care because like I'm one of those people who's like, okay, I'll just get it just because of the habits of the Pokedex, but I don't care about getting the shiny Pokemon, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't care less about the shiny Pokemon. Like, and we're probably gonna get, like, burned at the stake for saying this, like...
It's like, one of those things where it's like, if it appears in the wild, it's cool, but if you breed for it, then, you're aiming for it, you know?
Yeah, like, if it happens out of nowhere, it's just like, oh, awesome!
Yeah.
You're actually, like... hunting for it, like, then what's the point? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. If you're shiny hunting just for, like, the sheer clout, then you're wasting your time.
Yeah, no.
That's my opinion, but,
Yeah,
but overall, what would you give like the Sword and Shield DLC though? Like, out of five.
Out of five. Okay, yeah. So, like, it's hard for me to say just because like, the Sword and Shield DLC is supposed to be a two-part expansion,
mm-hmm.
but I guess like based on what we have now, I think I would generously say 8 out of 10, just because like, it's just kind of
it's good, but then it's just not there fully. Yeah,
like it's just not necessarily inconvenient. It's just I wish this happened earlier, so that I could feel more like I was actually working through it rather than just doing a couple like max raids.
Yeah, and then maxing out your legendary and then doing the story. I think he disconnected again. But okay, since he disconnected, I'll just give you my rating. I would say definitely 4 out of 5, maybe 3.5 out of 5, just because of the sheer fact that it's there physically, but it's a somewhat decent road to go to, like, we get there on the top of the mountain. It's, like, a good start, but then we just need to round it off really well. But yeah, I guess that's pretty much it for the Pokemon talk right now.
Yeah, like, I think we covered everything. I don't necessarily have anything to add. Like, that's really all the important stuff. Like, Kubfu, great Pokemon, Urshifu, great.
Yeah, rivals, trainers, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, they're all good. It's well-rounded for what it needs to be. It's just, like, it came at an inconvenient time.
Yeah, if you're a newer player picking it up, then it would be much more of a challenge, but if you're end game, then it's just a sweep just to, like, get it out of the way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but other than that, what else have you been playing, like, over the past month?
So, I don't know if you guys have gotten into it, but Riot Games released Valorant, and I've been getting into that. It's essentially like
CS:GO.
Yeah, it's essentially like CS:GO, but
Overwatch powers.
Yeah, pretty much. I like it a lot. It's definitely. I'm usually not the type of person to enjoy FPS.
Same. Like, yeah. At all.
The Valorant, like, it hits a nice niche spot.
Is it, like, can it be casual, I guess? It's because, like, Warzone is, like, sort of the casual kind of thing, but, like, Valorant, I would say it's, like, a little more hardcore, no?
There is a ranked, like, mode, like, you know, like, different ranks, like, bronze, silver, gold, that type of thing. Like, it's there, but, like, you can definitely enjoy it more as a casual thing. I don't necessarily take it too seriously. I know my friends who also play it are a little more serious about it, but I enjoy it casually. It's fun. I play this character called Raze the most, and the really only reason that I play her is because she has this ability that essentially sends out a robot that looks like a Roomba. And literally, I'll just be like, oh, I gotta use the Roomba. Roomba going out.
Roomba. Roomba deathmatch. Let's go.
But no, yeah. Yeah, so it's fun for me. Not the first game I'll play every day, but, like, it's a nice little fallback for me. I know that there's definitely, like, a hardcore following.
Like the CS:GO Overwatch people who, like, are that kind of people who would generally play this kind of game.
Like, it hits a really, like, specific mark that, like, hasn't necessarily been fulfilled yet. Like, I feel like Overwatch was trying to do what Valorant has done, essentially. But, I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That sounds fun. I've been playing Animal Crossing. The new update came out for the diving, and my god. It's like, the whole world opens up just immediately right after you get the wetsuit. It's just like, what? It's like, you could, like, I do a bunch of, like, the new diving things, and it's just, like, you could jump off docks, you could jump off, like, rocks and stuff, and it's just, like, the amount of stuff they kind of sort of added in, I was like, oh, I don't mind this being, like, sort of, like, updated, but, like, the little story they add to it is, like, oh, they were surveying the waters around the island to see if it's safe, and that's why it came later, which is fine. It's just that there isn't a lot to do outside the fact. I would kind of wish there was more mini games just to like kind of fulfill that kind of boredom.
Yeah, I got you. So, like, did they add like new villagers based on like the underwater? Like, is there a shark?
No. There's no new villagers. It's just more content to like do activity wise. You get the new encounter, which is Pascal, which is an otter, but okay. I haven't encountered him yet. He just gives you furniture, which is like, that's all these NPCs do anyway, is just give you furniture.
Yeah, I got you. I feel like that's a missed opportunity. I feel like they definitely should have, like, I haven't played it myself, but I feel like it would have been a lot better if they added, like, new like underwater villagers. Like, imagine if you could have, like, a house underwater, like, that type of thing. I feel like that would have been...
No, they would never do that. That's just way too complicated. Because it's like you're a human and, like, they're animals. So it's like, and like, but, like, they could come on land, but, like, you can't go underneath water, which is, like, weird.
Yeah, I got you. All right. What about you, Peter? Like, what have you been into lately?
So I have been playing a lot of long fucking games. I'm going to talk about the shorter one out of the two. I've been playing... I played The Last of Us 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I played The Last of Us 2, Chad, since you left again.
Yeah.
And... give me a second. I really liked it. I thought it was a really good continuation of The Last of Us. I thought it had a lot of natural consequences. Though I do acknowledge that it has a lot of flaws with the whole halfway through the game, you might not be particularly happy that you have to reset your entire character to play as somebody else. I don't know if you two are cool with spoilers. I'll get into spoilers just so it can make sense.
This game, or like, watch it, so go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead,
my friend.
So first off, there was a lot of controversy because of the leaks. I didn't know any of the leaks until after I played the game. Like, that's when I like looked into what the leaks were. And apparently, a lot of people were upset that Joel died. I thought it was going to be something different that people were going to be upset about. But Joel, is the main character of The Last of Us, and
yeah. But
me personally,
from a story point, it makes sense. He arced himself out. His character is done. He got what he wished for. Is to have his daughter figure back.
He died in a really like messed up way where Abby, the one of the characters you play as, just beats the shit out of him with a golf club.
Yeah.
So he dies unceremoniously. He doesn't die like a hero, like a lot of people were hoping for. And personally, I'm glad that he died like a bitch, because I am not a big fan of Joel. I love the character. I love how they portrayed him in The Last of Us. I love what they did with the character, but I don't like the actions the character did. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't hate that they created him. I hate just everything that happened in The Last of Us, the ending at least. I hate that he murders a bunch of people to save Ellie, because he essentially is taking Ellie's choice away from, which she explicitly says to him in The Last of Us 2, like, you took my choice away, because Ellie finds out that Joel kills everybody and steals her away. She eventually finds out. And that's like one of the biggest quote unquote, like, twists. Like, you know, she learns that she's on this revenge mission to kill Abby because she murdered Joel, but why should she if she... But, like, wait, she knows that Joel, like, murdered people to save her? Why? Why would she do that? So it's like... So I thought that was all cool, and I'm really glad that, like, they killed Joel the right way. Like, Joel doesn't deserve peace for what he did. He doesn't deserve a happy ending. Neither does Ellie, because Ellie murders a bunch of people to try to kill Abby. And because of that, she loses the love of her life. She burns bridges with a character named Tommy. And I'm happy that she has consequence for those actions. Nothing is they shouldn't have a happy ending in this grounded sort of real world. I think even though it's a zombie infested apocalypse, right? that's not real world. That's fucking fantasy. That's fake. But the consequences of taking revenge is natural. Like, if you take revenge on somebody, the consequences are you're probably going to be burning a lot of bridges to do so because you're so clouded by anger and rage. And then Abby...
Remember, anger leads to the dark side.
Anger leads to the dark side. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to sadness, you know? Yeah. Like, all that shit that Yoda said. And Abby, she kills Joel, she gets her revenge, and now she has to live with the consequences of losing all of her friends. And that's really sad.
That Ellie supposedly kills, apparently.
Ellie does kill them. She doesn't supposedly. She kills every single one of them. Like, on her pursuit to kill Abby. And that's what makes... It's like this... It's a very simple, like, revenge plot, right? It's like, whatever. Like, very basic, very generic. But because you genuinely... At least for me, I really developed an attachment to both Ellie and to Abby. Like, I really liked Abby's story. Because it was pretty much, and you're probably hearing this a lot if you watch reviews, it's a mirror of Joel's story from The Last of Us. He's fucked up. She's fucked up. They both meet a child, and that child kind of redeems them in some aspects. Not all of them, but some. I will admit, Joel has some redeemable aspects, especially in The Last of Us 2. They try to make him a little more... At least for me, I'm more empathetic towards Joel than I originally was in The Last of Us. However, he's still not a good person, just like Abby isn't a good person, just because she meets this little kid which, by the way, I thought was really cool. There's a lot of, like, LGBTQ stuff in this game that I really liked. Like, Ellie, for example, is gay, and one of the characters in this game, called Lev, is transgender. I thought that was pretty cool. But besides the point, like, Lev is supposed to be the humanity that Abby's trying to regain. And she does get it for some time, but then she gets her ass beaten in San Bernardino, whatever the fuck. She gets her ass beat trying to find the Fireflies, and she's imprisoned as a slave for months. Like, she doesn't get a happy ending. Nobody does. And that's what I think is really important about the game. There's the cycle of revenge, and then, of course, forgiveness, because Ellie doesn't kill Abby. But Ellie still loses everything. She loses her humanity. She loses the people around her, all for pointless revenge, which...
There is a couple fingers at the end, too.
Yeah, where she loses both... She loses two fingers. She can't play guitar as well anymore. She can play guitar, but not as well. A lot of people mess that up. She can't
play the G chord, Yeah,
she can play a lot of...
F major.
Yeah. She's going to have to learn how to play guitar, probably...
With her left hand.
Yeah. So she's, which is a direct connection to Joel. The guitar is her connection to Joel, and because she can't play guitar anymore, she's pretty, essentially, I think she lost her, I wouldn't say lost her connection, but she's definitely looking past it now. She's now looking forward in life with the choices she's made. She's come to accept the choices she's made. She's come to pretty much accept Joel's actions and forgives him and is moving forward. And I think I was really important in the game. I think that's what makes the game really good. A lot of people don't. A lot of people think Ellie should have just been a badass. Joel should have been there dying in a heroic death. People think Abby should have been less swole, which go fuck yourself. Like, seriously, I think it's so cool having jacked female characters in video games. Or in media in general.
I mean, like, it's honestly, so cool. In this sense, like, yeah, they would be jacked because, like, they're surviving in the wilderness.
Like, but people are like, oh, but they're not getting enough protein. My dude, are you paying attention to the reality of their situation? They live in a fucking... They live in this, like, giant, like... They live in this, in a stadium.
Tribal village, right?
So Ellie lives in Jackson, which is pretty much, like, a small little country town. Which is, like, fully electric, there's cars, there's children, there's plenty of stores to buy food and get all this stuff. Like, it looks like a real community. And Abby, her community, they live in a football stadium, And it's solar, it's wind powered, solar powered. There's farmland all over the stadium. There's dog training centers. There's like arsenals. There's gyms. Like, no duh, she's going to gain enough protein from like the meat they get and the food they're eating and the beans and all this shit to where she's fucking huge. It doesn't make sense to me. But even that, it doesn't make sense that that's a critique. Like, people are, it's immersion shattering. No, what's immersion shattering is, like, is the gameplay, which I fucking hate. I fucking hate the gameplay in this game.
Yeah, because it hasn't changed, right? It's been the same gameplay over and over again. Like, the little cell sections that you have to throw rocks and shit.
It's not entirely the same. There's a lot of new gadgets you can use, a lot of new guns you can use. Like, Ellie can now use a silencer. She can plant trip mines. She can crawl. Which is apparently really good. But for me, what I hated about it is it was repetitive. I don't mind doing the same thing over and over again. If that were the case, I would have stopped playing Destiny 2 way earlier than I did. The problem is, like, it might be because I've also been playing Persona 5 and that game's really long, but I just wanted to fucking beat a game. I wanted to finally beat it. I wanted it to be over. Like, not in a bad way either. I wanted to have a satisfying conclusion and everything, but not something that took me 25 hours to do. Like, it took me so long. That's why the review came out on a Sunday than typically on our Fridays. Because it just took so gosh darn long to play that I couldn't finish it on time. And I was like, I just want to beat a game. Please, please, God, let me beat a game. And it felt like a struggle because the gameplay was repetitive and boring. Like, I had a friend in high school who told me, like, I watched The Last of Us before I played it in, like, middle school or whatever. And I was like, the game's got a really good story, but, like, I would not enjoy playing it. And I came to realize that I didn't really like the kind of gameplay it was, like, cover, shooting, stealth.
It's like a slow-paced Gears of War.
In the way they did it, yeah, it was kind of like a worse... Like, they took the aspects of... They took the aspects of what made, like, games like Gears of War or Metal Gear Solid or Splinter Cell or literally any game that, does those kinds of things, and made them terrible. Like, really boring. Like, they really improve upon it in the Uncharted games, but in The Last of Us, it was just so bad and boring. It wasn't fun. And he's like, no, the game's revolutionary. So I played it for the first time a couple months ago, The Last of Us. And I was like, nope, this game's boring. It's not fun to play. It's really fun to watch, but it's not fun to play. And then it's the same thing with The Last of Us 2. It's not fun to play, but goddamn, that story keeps me hooked. Yeah, and that's what sucks.
It's like they could create a whole entire TV show and you wouldn't miss anything.
Like, and that's what kind of sucks about it, because I watched it, because there's a lot of people talking about this phrase that I just learned called ludonarrative dissonance, which is pretty much the game's gameplay doesn't match the game's story.
Yeah.
So what happens in The Last of Us is that Ellie, you said something, Chad, you cut out really bad.
No, yeah, I've never heard of that term before. That's like, I didn't even know that there was like an actual term for like gameplay that doesn't match the actual game, but anyways, continue.
So like what happens is, which is why a lot of people are, which is a very good critique, I think it's like a good critique of the game. It might be very generic of a critique, but it's appropriate here.
I think it's point across.
Because at the last part of the game, Ellie goes after Abby one last time because she can't sleep at night. She has PTSD from seeing Joel die. So she goes after Abby one more time. And to get to Abby, she's murdering like a bunch of random people. She's shooting dogs, killing people, at least depending on how you play. Depending on how you play, like if the gameplay pretty much, it's really hard to completely stealth through a lot of these sections. Like there is a point where you have to just go through a shooting gallery with people. And
you just gotta get it over with.
Yeah. You have to
rip the Band-Aid off. There's no reasoning with them. You just gotta...
You just have to... You just murder them. There's... Yeah. And...
As soon said shooting dogs, that immediately made me not want to play it.
Okay, like people, I was talking about this with some friends, and they thought I was cruel. So one of the mechanics is, they now have dogs in this game, and they can sniff you out. And so when you're using, like, your sense where people are ability, you actually see the trail that you leave behind you when a dog senses you, right? So what I did was I used the trip mines, put a trip mine down, ran away, ran away enough so the dog could still sense me. And then it would be like a dog with their handler and then two other people. And the dog would walk up to my bomb and explode.
That's a dog's fault at that point. That's a dog's fault.
You and two
make dogs be bomb dogs.
And I was like,
sad.
I like dogs, but like when they're trying to murder me, I'm gonna fucking kill the dog.
Yeah, like yes, it's not that you're wrong. It's that you're right.
You just hate that I'm right. That you would kill a dog too if it's trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Like, Chad, how about this? You're in a forest, running away from a bear cub. It's definitely going to eat you and kill you. But you have the choice of killing it with a shotgun first. Which one do you do?
Wait, you said a bear cub?
Yes. It's deadly but cute.
Dude, a bear cub is not fast enough to catch you. I don't feel... Okay.
Bear cubs are fast. Chad, trust me. Bear cubs are fast.
Okay, well, if it's going to kill me, then yes, I will shoot it. But a bear is different than a dog.
But, yeah, I murdered the dog. I murdered dogs a lot in The Last of Us 2. And I even used... you have, like, a bow. You can make an arrow where it has, like, an explosive tip. So I would shoot people with the bow and they just explode. But that's the thing. That's, like, back to the focus of what I was saying. The little narrative dissonance is... I feel regret for murdering people, yet, like, as a player,
fun enough to,
like, I'm enjoying, like, shooting a bow and arrow and seeing people explode. I'm enjoying seeing a dog blow up into pieces because of a trip mine. I'm willing to run through an entire enemy camp and murder people, but just when I see Abby, I don't want to kill her now. I want to let her go again because of Joel. It's like,
but maybe it's a reflection on the player's choices and not the characters.
Once again,
have you thought about that, Peter?
If that was the point, the game would let you choose to kill Abby. I think if you want to phrase it like that, the game Naughty Dog would have made you choose whether or not you can kill Abby, because there's a point in the game. There's a lot of points in the game where you as Abby or you as Ellie are doing something you don't want to do. So like with Ellie, you meet this person, you find one of the people who killed Joel, right? Or who is there that helped kill Joel, and she's suffocating because of this this spores thing that can make you turn into a zombie. Oh. And because Ellie
is
immune.
That's right, I forgot. This is a zombie game.
Because Ellie is immune, she can walk through the spores, and she finds this girl, and she's going to beat the shit out of her for information on Abby. But the game just doesn't do it. Like, it waits for you to press square. And if you don't press square, you are sitting there. And it's like, as Joel, you would do it because you understand that's the character Joel is. But Ellie, you notice throughout the game that Ellie is kind of hesitant to what she's doing. She doesn't necessarily want to do what she's doing, but because she's so angry and so clouded by revenge, it's what she has to do. So the game forces you to just beat the shit out of all these characters, to murder characters. And then as Abby, the game forces you to fight Tommy and to fight Ellie and like beat the shit out of them. And you don't want to do that either. So I really love that the game challenges you to like do things you're not comfortable with, but it does fall through in the end where you don't choose. I think it would have been really cool to choose if you kill Abby or not.
Yeah.
But it also works. It also works with the game because for me, I didn't want Abby to die. I didn't think Abby deserved to die. I think what she did was justified enough, but I also understand why Ellie's upset. And
It's not the right way to take it out.
Yeah, like, it's, once again, it's a basic story of revenge and forgiveness, but it works because I care about these characters. And that's something that's, like, really, that's something really subjective. Like, I genuinely enjoy these characters and what they did with them, but a lot of people don't, for whatever reason. I mean, I can understand with Abby, because the game makes you, for the first 10 hours, hate Abby. But me, I was looking at it through the fact that I didn't want Ellie to go on this journey anyways, because I already had a disdain for Joel, which most people don't have. Most people love Joel and want to see Abby die, but I was somebody who was like, no, Joel deserved to die. I don't want Ellie to go on this journey, and I don't want Abby to die. So, I was happy with it. I was happy with what the story was going for, because I took a more critical standpoint on The Last of Us than most people would, and it made my experience with The Last of Us 2 feel so much more fulfilling and so much more satisfying, because it was the conclusion that I knew was right, that a lot of people, I think, aren't seeing or putting together. And that's okay, because everybody has their own perspective of games. And the little narrative dissonance thing, to go back to that and kind of finally finish that conversation, is the fact that you're murdering people, but Ellie won't kill like this one person. She draws the line with Abby, but I'll murder these random fuckos for whatever reason. And that's, I think, is a very fair criticism of the story and the game. Is the game should have made the we shouldn't have. I don't think we should have had more choice
in the end.
Yeah. I think the game shouldn't have had another hour long section of stealthing and murdering people. I think it should have just been me finding Abby, and then the fight. I don't think there should have been a whole story. Maybe zombies, like the zombies would have been better because they're zombies, but to have more human fight combat sequences just didn't make sense to me. Just personally, I think it...
I think the point of that was just like they're trying to make you feel bad about killing people.
No. These characters were like... They showed up in the last hour and that's it. You learn like very little about them and that's
it. Screw them then. Kill them.
Well, that's the thing. Like... kill him, like, whatever. But then you draw the line with Abby. Like, you go on this hour-long journey to find Abby again, only to not do it. Like,
you
murder all these people in your wake to finding Abby, but you won't do it now? Like, it just doesn't logically make sense, you know? Like, if nothing happened and Ellie decided not to kill Abby, it logically makes sense. Because prior to finding Abby... Ellie's living a peaceful life, and she's having PTSD about Abby, but she's happy with the love of her life and their child, and it's great. But then Tommy's like, oh, you gotta find this bitch, I know where she is. So Ellie's like, okay, I'm gonna go do this for myself. And she goes, and she finds her, but it would have been so much better if she just found Abby and not have to fight people.
Yeah, like, I get what you're saying. Like, it's just a conflict in, like, morals and, like, do as I say, not as I do type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've been saying it this whole time, but, like, yeah, it doesn't make sense to kill a bunch of randos then not kill the one person that you were, like, going to kill. And I also feel like maybe part of why people just weren't really accepting or like positive about The Last of Us Part 2 is because like when you play a game, you're not, at least in my opinion, you're not really looking for like a bunch of realism unless that's what you're into. So like, I don't know. I just feel like people wanted a more idealized or idealistic version of the game as opposed to like what Last of Us Part 2 was, which was very realistic. And like based on what you're saying, like, yeah, it makes sense. Like the storyline to me sounds more compelling than if like it was idealized, like Ellie just goes on a killing spree and then kills Abby and then yada 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 whatever. So like I agree with what you're saying, it makes sense. Like I haven't played the game so I can't say for myself, but I do agree with everything that you've said.
Have you guys played the original?
No,
I watched it because I don't want to play one of those games where it's just like stick and move.
Yeah, I mean, if for anyone who's watching, if you played The Last of Us, it's worth it. Even if you don't like the gameplay, it's worth it to play. Like, to watch is a whole different experience because you're watching it. You're a passive viewer. You're not actually taking action. You're not the one pressing the square button. You're just watching. But as the player, this is one of those things where I'm happy that it is a video game and not a movie. Even if I don't necessarily enjoy most of the game part of the video game, it's still worth playing. And I think it's good. I think it's a good game. People should play it if you're interested in the story and the world. One of the things I did say in the review that I posted was I think The Last of Us should be more of an anthology series, kind of like Black Mirror, where they have different stories.
Like different people, yeah. Because, like, there's so much you can do with that world, but they just choose to focus on, like, another, like, different characters, you know?
Like, just focus on
someone else besides these people.
Like, I get why they focused on Ellie and Joel, because, like, oh, Ellie's the one person who's immune, and Joel is her protector. Like, I get that, but, like, there's got to be other compelling stories in a world like this. Like, this can't be, like, all that's happening.
I felt like Infamous Second Son had a more compelling story than what Peter described.
Infamous? I don't think I've played that.
I did miss a lot of crucial points in the story. I tried to, like, bog it down to a little... Because I could, like I said prior to starting the podcast, like, I sat with a bunch of friends for 2.5 hours talking about The Last of Us in great detail. And that's just The Last of Us. Like, I could spend a lot of time talking about this game, and I don't want to, because I like to talk about other things too, especially because you both haven't played it.
I'm not going to play it, so it's fine. You could spoil it.
It's not just spoilers. I mean, like, there is so much shit you can talk about with this game that, like I said, we spent 2.5 hours talking about it. Like, the game's, for people who played it, it's a lot of fun to talk about. And you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time with it. I think we could talk about other things as well. But I think an anthology series would be awesome. Like, yes, you're right, like... Why wouldn't Naughty Dog, like, make another game with the characters that people love? Like, it'll make a lot of money, which it did. But I also think, like, as I was playing as Abby's character, I was like, this would be really fun to, like, see different aspects, different perspectives in this world. Side
alone story before, like, this thing. Maybe they could have done, like, an Avengers thing where it's like, okay, you know all these characters. They build up the sort of, like, thing and, like, kind of at the end, this is how everything connects.
I would much rather it just be, like, nothing connects. Like, just random fucking stories in this world. Like, for me, I never necessarily wanted a sequel to The Last of Us anyways. I was very upset when they announced the sequel. But I was like, I'm willing to play it. I'll do it because I generally do like the characters. Same thing with Stranger Things. Like, I fucking hated the fact that Stranger Things had a second season.
And I dropped Stranger Things after, like, the first season because I was just like, eh.
The first season was so good. I actually thought the first season of Stranger Things was really good. It was a lot of fun to watch. The character, the child actors were really fun. But, like, my point is, like, it ends on, like, these really cool cliffhangers. But at the same time, those cliffhangers naturally led to a sequel that I didn't want. Because the story ended on such a positive, good, satisfying note. And the sequel, the second season and the third season, do not live up to the first season. Where I think... Which is the same thing with The Last of Us 2. It doesn't live up to the first one. But I think it's definitely better than, like, a Stranger Things season 2. But that's enough of my Last of Us talk. If you want to hear me talk about it a little more, please check out our review of it. I really enjoyed it, filming it. I really enjoyed playing the game. And a friend of mine said he thought I did pretty well talking about the game. So I would check it out. Is there, like... We've been talking for what now? About an hour. So, like, is there anything you guys want to, like, talk about some more? Like, any TV shows you guys been watching?
Just wrapped up Fire Force and season 1, because season 2 is coming out today, I believe. So, looking forward to that. I also started a new podcast called Tanuki Studio Podcasts. That's with my friend Charlie, because we both do animation and then we do all this kind of stuff. that we start a podcast to like kind of explain what we'll be doing over the summer, kind of like the last 2 months, to explain like what we'll be working on and like what we think of like current state animation and entertainment kind of stuff. So check that out if you're interested inside entertainment and animation, Tanuki Studio Podcast. It's on Spotify, which is really cool.
Okay, so I don't know if... Sorry, Davis, were you...
I'm done. You're good.
Okay, okay, so I don't know if you guys are on the wave for this, but this also kind of goes off of Peter's point about, like, oh, it doesn't need a continuation, it doesn't need a second season or whatever. The Avatar The Last Airbender wave that's, like...
Oh, been taking... my God. This my could God. Be a whole podcast in itself, dude. This could be a whole separate podcast.
I'll say this. It's just nostalgia. Like, some of the stuff, like, aged pretty well, but, like, half of it is just, like, kind of filler, you know?
Nah. Dude, how... No, that filler is so good. They do a really good job with the filler compared to other shows that I've watched.
I get what you're saying. Yes, a lot. Like, is a nostalgia component. But, like, when I went back and, like, rewatched Last Airbender.
You dropped that again.
Yeah.
I guess we'll never know what Chad was saying, so... Yeah.
No, I think I might...
Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z!
I think I know what Chad might be saying, though. Like, you know, I definitely agree there were probably a lot of rose-tinted... Like, I definitely had rose-tinted glasses on while watching it. You know, like, definitely was a lot of nostalgia from, like, as a kid. Like, literally waiting every week for an episode. Like, that's how I felt watching it. I was like, man, I'm remembering all these moments of me, like, waiting for each episode. Mm-hmm. Like, the Ba Sing Se when Aang gets shot in the back, or the final episode, or when Zuko joins the team. Like, there are definitely moments where, like, I was like, oh my god, I feel like a kid again. But I do genuinely think that they do a very good job, compared to other shows, establishing characters. Like, you genuinely...
Well, there wasn't really nothing like it beforehand, was there?
Even now, like, there are some shows that just a good... And people are going to flame me for this. Maybe you guys are. But I don't think Marvel does a good job establishing character relationships. Everyone loves Civil War. Everyone loves Civil War, right? But, like, I do not care that Captain America and Iron Man are fighting, because in every movie prior, they are arguing with each other.
Everyone has their own, like, little shitty infights. They're just like, okay, so what made it kind of push over? Just because you found out that this guy's still alive and he killed your parents?
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't...
you didn't have control over that?
Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And with Avatar, they make me give a shit about every character. Like, every single one of them. Characters that are only there for, like, 1 second. Like, I like it. And it's good. The Cabbage Man. This is my favorite character of all time. Foam Guy from the Kyoshi Islands. Dude, when Aang does his little air trick and that guy, like, just freaks out. It's like, they do such a good job establishing characters. Like, such small characters, such small things. And I think I see what you're going for, Chad. I think I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say, bringing up my point with the sequel stuff. Legend of Korra gets a bad rap. It's not terrible. Oh, no.
The second season on is okay. First season just went nowhere, just because I don't think they had a direction they wanted to go in.
No, I feel like it's actually more... First season was okay. It was like, it was whatever. It was like a basic generic, like, sequel series kind of a thing. Wasn't terrible. Wasn't good either. Cool concepts, but probably not executed very well. Season 2 was fucking bonkers. That season sucked. It was awful. Season 3 was kind of... Season 3, wait, what was that season 3? Season 3 was really fucking good.
Season 3 was with the airbender monk who was like, yeah... The Avatar shouldn't exist anymore, because anytime they come up, it's the end of the world or whatever.
Yeah, he takes the most peaceful, like, from what we know, the air nomads are peaceful beings. And he takes their teachings and twists it to his, like, own little fucked up worldview. And I was completely turned on his head. Yeah, I was like, damn, that's so good. And then the first 5 episodes of season 4 were awesome. I will fight anyone who
I thinks the first really four like seasons the, of season
four. The first four episodes are like terrible. I'm like, no, I love
I the like plot. The whole backstory of like the first Avatar. That was interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
I kind of wanted to see that over this. I really think a prequel should have come before this.
I get what you're saying. No, yeah, so like let me just like take a step back, like before like I continue on anything. Like, yes, I do think Korra gets a bad rap. Because, like, I feel like it's really, really difficult for people to look at Legend of Korra without comparing it to Last Airbender. Like, Last Airbender was, like, a stroke of genius. Like, it's really, no matter what they did, it would have been really difficult to follow it up. I think Legend of Korra on its own, like, as its own individual thing, like, yeah, it's good. Like, is it perfect? Absolutely not. But, like, it has a lot of good qualities to it. Like, and I think a lot of the problem is that, like, Legend of Korra is, like, the same story, just from a different perspective, from what I understand about it.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, like, I've seen it. Like, I've watched the majority of it. I've seen clips of what I, like, haven't gotten to yet. But, like, it is really, it is good. It, like, I do agree. It does get a bad rap. It's just, again, people have such a hard time. Like, I had a hard time separating it from The Last Airbender until I went online and read a bunch of, like, articles and stuff like that saying, hey, watch, like, try your best to watch Legend of Korra without comparing it to Last Airbender, and you'll start to, like, understand it and, like, appreciate it more. And like, that's what happened with me.
So I did a review of this on a site called Letterboxd, and I pretty much talked about, like, I don't think Legend of Korra is good either. I think it's just like
it's out okay. There, it exists.
It's not terrible. It's not like this. It's not like the Bane. It's not like it ruins the Avatar. It ruins Avatar the series as a whole because it's just so bad. It's like. No, it's like, it's not great. It's not terrible.
It's not good, it's not great.
It's not like, good, it's not bad. It's okay. Just like, it's there. And there are a lot of good moments. Like, with, like, for me, I think the best of the entire, even the best out of the whole series as a whole, is when Korra deals with the fact that she's lost every single major battle in her life. And the literal poison in her body is stopping her from bending, like, properly, being herself. And I was like, that is such a good message, like, for getting through, like, going, accepting your failures and learning from them. And I was like, fuck, it's so good. And having the best character to assist her in that with Toph, like, Toph is a very good character who, like, just says... shit. She just says the right shit at the right time.
She's blatant, because, like, that's kind of her character. That's the character. She's a rock. Her personality is just, like, blatant and very direct.
Yeah, she is blunt. So yeah, blunt. That's why I like that. That's why I like that little mini arc in the first five episodes of Korra, like, getting back the courage to be the Avatar. To be the character she's meant to be. And not judge herself as Aang, but judge herself as her own character. And I think that's also a meta commentary. I think the main
Avatar messages is just for The Last Airbender is stepping up to the plate when you need to, not really like you're being forced to, but knowing when the time is right. For like Korra and stuff, it's like you need to find yourself first before you do anything. Because if you don't find yourself first, then you're gonna be a mess.
Yeah, like I get what you're saying, and like just to really quickly go back to Toph, like she's literally the perfect teacher, because like somebody did a comparison online between like how she treated Aang and how she treated Korra, because like here's the thing with Aang, she knew she had to be gentler, like after like Katara told her, hey, be a little nicer and he'll respond better, and Aang did respond better when she was like more supportive and a bit more positive. But like she saw that everyone was coddling Korra after like, you know, everything that happened with her.
She's basically like, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get up. Oh, did it crash?
What crash?
Chad crashed again. He just stopped talking.
Yeah,
there he goes.
Okay. Are we good?
Yeah. Are we good?
Okay. Sorry. I gotta get my Wi-Fi checked out. But anyways, as I was saying, like, she saw people coddling Korra. She saw that it was, like, making Korra's condition worse. And, so, like, she realized that, hey, Korra responds to force. And so that's what Toph did. That's exactly why, like, she acted the way that she did. And it was actually really good for Korra. So, yeah. Like, Toph is, like, the perfect teacher. Give her, like, Professor of the Year award.
Well,
like,
I think it's that and her just old age.
Yeah, like, the whole...
She raised two kids and, like, went through, like, what, three marriages? And, like, she's pretty adaptable for, like, an earthbender.
Yeah, like, the whole, I'm too old for this shit, I've, like, done enough, like, no, I'm not gonna put up with this, just do what you need to do, like, that type of thing.
Yeah, I would love to actually just talk about this for an hour and a half with you guys, because Avatar is really good. I think it's a lot of fun to talk about. It's got a lot of themes and things you could say, but we are opening a large can of worms if we talk about Avatar right now.
Yeah, this is definitely another podcast thing on its own.
Yeah.
So you've been watching Avatar. That's cool. I really do love it, and I'd love to talk about it with you guys. I just finished watching Death Parade.
That's a great anime.
I was recommended to this by a guy that I watch called Glass Reflections. Mm-hmm. He did his... I watched his video that he posted at the end of last... At the end of, like, December, called, like, 25... His 25-ish anime of the decade. And that was one of them. And it really intrigued me because it was a cool concept of judging, like, how to judge people in the afterlife. Like, how do you judge people in general? Like, what is judgment?
Is it based on, like, their actions or based on, like, their morality?
Like, what is death? Like, how do you feel about death and all that jazz? And I just finished it before we got on the podcast. And I've got to say, that cut deep, man. That's a deep show.
Like, yeah, it's one of those things you need to, like, kind of sit down and watch really closely, understand, to, like, really digest before, like, you kind of, like, talk about it.
It's definitely with other people. It definitely is worth, like, a rewatching kind of show. It's very short, only 12 episodes, which I love. I love short.
No, second short season, and sweet. Thank God.
God, I would hate it. I would. I would murder people. Like, it's so good. Though, I will say, there are a little bit of criticisms, I would say. Like, you know, it, as much as I do appreciate how short it is, I don't think it fully gets me, you know? Like, just because of how short it is, like, there, it could have played a little more with some more different types. Because, like, pretty much the premise is there's this guy... And he has an assistant who's a human, and he judges dead people to see if they go to heaven or hell. And based on those judgments, he's trying to understand emotions. And I think it would have been nicer if he got a little more, maybe a couple more different scenarios with different types of people he judges. But I also know that's like a double-edged sword, where if you do too much of one thing, it can drag on or feel repetitive and bad. So it's a criticism I have, but I also acknowledge that maybe they did the right choice of making it shorter. I would have loved a little more, but I think they did a good job.
I mean, the show came out, like, what, 2013?
15, yeah.
15?
So obviously they can't do it. They obviously can't make anything else for it. I hope they'd never do.
Well, it's original programming anyway, so it's written as is.
Yeah, so I'm glad. I liked it. I thought it was really good. I have a whole list of anime I'm going to start watching, because once I finish Persona 5, I'm done with video games for a while. like, 100 plus hours in one game is too much.
We did it, boys. Video games are no more.
All for...
all for fucking Kasumi, dude. I did it for Kasumi, bro. I wanted to...
He gets barely any screen time in the first half of the game.
Because it's the first half of the game is just... is the original game. The first
exactly.
100 hours is the first game. The last 20 is the new game stuff. So, like...
I feel like people do this a lot where they just say, oh, Kasumi is supposed to be the main part. It's like, no, it's the bond between you, Kasumi, and Mariyuki that's supposed to be, like, the main... like
the main focus of the last of the, 20
Could we have to build that up to it, though? And then what I don't think they do well enough is that pretty much Kasumi just gets her own persona, like, just out of the gate, and it's like, okay, fine. But you only get, like, the first 5 levels of the confident card with her, and that's what I think irks people. Because you didn't get to know this character.
I mean, if you space it out a little bit, if you space it out a little bit and you're not like grinding to get her 5 levels, so like you do a lot of cause, like some of the things in Persona 5 for people who don't know is like if you don't use the right persona, you don't get enough points for that character. So then you'd have to do activities outside of leveling up their character. Their confidant thing
so
to boost their likeness towards you. Yeah, so then you can do a lot more with you feel more connection with the character if you do a lot more activities with them.
You get bonus points basically, and just that you could if you don't do the right one or the right arcana, then it gets a little grindy, but it's not that hard to like have each one of all the arcanas on your party. So it's very easy to like
No. What I'm trying to say is like if you're not going for the grind. Like, if you're not, for me, I was going to just get the perfect ending. So I grinded through Kasumi's part to where I was done with her confidant thing in June. Like, way ahead, which is something you could do even if you weren't grinding. But, like, I got the Faith Arcana and I stuck with that to finish her thing out. But I could have spaced it out too. I could have done a little bit here, a little bit there. You know, that way it doesn't feel like. That way I don't, like, just stop talking to her for, like, 4 months, you know, you pretty much don't see her for a long time if you finish her confidant thing.
Yeah, so she's only available on, like, very specific days, too.
Yeah. Because,
like, it's very story-driven, that character. So it's like, you have to deal with the fact that there's only certain days you can hang out with these characters over here, and then you gotta manage palaces, Mentos, and, like, other shit, so.
So, like, for me, I'm totally, like, I think if, like, you space it out and everything... it'll be fine. Like, you won't have to worry too much about it. But if you don't space it out, it definitely will feel like, well, why'd you even introduce new characters? Why make a new game if you're only going to leave them for the last 20 minutes? It just depends on the way you play. If you're going for the true ending and you're somebody who likes to complete things, like, early so you don't have to worry about it later, then it makes sense if you don't feel a certain connection towards, like, character like Kasumi or Maruki. But... you could also play it where you do, where you space it out and you talk to them on different days and all that stuff. Or you just try to, like, prioritize different characters rather than just prioritizing one, which is what I should have done. I will never replay this game after I finish it. Maybe in, like, 20 years I'll replay it. But
And just immediately realize, like, oh, the Persona 6 hasn't come out yet, so...
Yeah, you realize it'll... They'll never make another Persona game because Persona 5 is like
a cash cow. They milk it.
They're gonna milk the shit out of that.
Atlas and Sega milk a lot of their games. I wouldn't really be surprised if they introduced a sort of another Persona Arena Ultimax, just because you have more characters to play with, or even introduce some like another crossover stuff. But like overall, I would say Persona 5 is one of the games that's like if you know what a JRPG is, like, then it's not, like, and not Pokemon JRPG, then you're going to be, you'll understand the mechanics a lot more than you would normally would, but I would still, like, have, like, a little bit of a sort of, like, non-spoiler guide up for you to, like, make sure you know, like, oh, you have to have deadlines, that kind of thing, because it's not very apparent in, like, what certain deadlines there are in certain parts of the game.
Yeah.
Which is one of the downfalls.
Mm-hmm.
They have a calendar, 100%. But it's not really up in the moment, you know?
No, but, like, there's this one character where you learn different, where like, you can learn different speech, like, negotiation tactics. And if you don't finish it...
Yeah, whatchamacallit, Toshi.
Yeah, and if you don't finish it before November, like, you lose some pretty critical ones, like negotiating with higher level
personas, and also pretty much just like pretty much getting that instant, like, oh, like the instant kill with Ryuji.
Oh, that is so important, dude.
That will help. That saves you a lot of grind time. I'll say that,
bro. Yeah, I mean, it is grinding. Okay, so Chad, the importance of the insta kill thing is there's pretty much like this like grind area called Momentos. It's tied to the story, but it's essentially like a ground to where you train your team to get them to level to certain to higher levels to be prepared
to level up your team members, and plus you complete jobs in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one of your confidant characters is this guy named Ryuji. He's the first character you meet in the game, and he has an ability where any shadow that is lower leveled than you will die instantly
if you run into it.
Yeah. So it says there's a chance, but the problem is there is no chance. It happens every fucking time.
It happens a lot, honestly.
It happens and every time you do it. So if you go on Momentos and you I think it's roughly like maybe 10 levels higher.
It's 5 to 10 levels higher, yeah. If you're 5 to 10 levels higher than the persona or than the demon is, you most likely will kill it.
So if you go to like the higher level areas with the higher XP level areas, you'll get a shit ton of XP and level up your characters like so
like it's
much.
Nothing.
It's crazy.
And plus with the combination of like other confidence in play, you get a lot more.
Yeah. So
sounds busted.
It's broken.
But it was a nice needed change from the original version.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. Like I get what you're saying. Like it's not necessary, but like when you do have it, it makes everything so much easier. Like I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's nice, but it kind of breaks the game a little bit.
Yeah, I got you.
I liked it. I thought I've been using it now because Davis told me the final boss is very hard, so I've been using it to just level up some characters, and I've been trying to grind out some third form awakenings on all my characters as well, and trying to grind out some good personas to fight. But yeah, so I think that's a good place to stop. Anything you guys want to plug for yourselves personally? Anything you're doing? I know, Davis, you said you were doing a podcast.
Yeah, with a friend. An animation channel with my friend, Tanuki Studio Pod, Tanuki Studios. I think on YouTube we have a different name just because the name was taken, but and it's like Tanuki spelled with two O's instead of a U, like Tom Nook, but it's T-O. And O-O-K-I. That's how you spell it.
All right, we'll definitely put it in the description down
below. Yeah, I'll put a link.
like I said before, I did a 2.5-hour review session with a couple of friends. I'll post that in the description below on this podcast. Chad, do you have anything that you've been working on or interested in? Or so even if it's not just you, anything you want to plug that you're happy with?
Yeah, so not necessarily video game related, but I did get an internship recently, and I think I told.
Congrats! I think I told
about it. Yeah, no, yeah, thanks. Yeah. And so essentially, what I'm doing is writing articles for an American-based manga anthology. So that's Saturday AM. I already submitted a couple articles. So if you want to link that in the description.
Oh, yeah. Dude, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So if anybody wants to check that out, like it's not just my articles.
Is it like review articles or is it like story?
You died again.
I think he dropped out. my questions will never be answered. God damn it, Chad.
Yeah, I'd love to hear his stuff. I'd love to read his stuff, man. That's really cool. We'll definitely put that below in the description.
I'm just waiting until he drops out.
Yeah, it's not letting him drop out. I don't know what else to do. It's kind of weird. It's really awkward.
Do you think we can kick him out and then he'll rejoin?
Can I even kick him out of chat?
I can't. You can move him.
But regardless, thank you for joining, everybody. We'll definitely leave all the things we discussed here at the end in the description below for you guys to check out later. Don't forget to check out anything on the Gaming Channels podcast as well, if any of you are interested in... Oh, hello, welcome back, Chad. You're here for the end. The end, we're doing the end card.
Rounding it off.
So we're going to have everyone's descriptions down below. We're going to have all our socials for the UCGC and our personal ones as well down below. And feel free to watch our videos, like our stuff on Facebook and Twitter, and like our videos as well, like them, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Thanks for watching, guys, and we will catch you next time.